Ever heard that saying, actions speak louder than words? Well, get this. Sometimes someone's actions can actually create a legally binding contract, even if they never actually, agreed to it in writing.
That's wild.
That's exactly what we're diving into today.
Oh, cool.
A 1937 Pennsylvania case, Evans v. Ruth.
Okay.
It's really a wild ride through contracts and agency law.
This one's a real classic. It's super relevant if you're dealing with construction or subcontracting, like all the time.
So imagine, right, you're James Evans,
Okay.
you're a trucker, hauling tons of stone for this big highway project.
Lots of work.
Yeah, you're expecting a nice big paycheck. But when you go to collect, surprise.
Uh-oh.
The company that hired you is trying to pass the buck to a subcontractor
Oh
who's
no.
gone bankrupt.
Yikes. Talk about a legal headache. And here's the kicker. The company that tried to dodge paying, they actually ended up being liable
Oh, wow.
for the debt, all because of what they did after the work was already done.
Okay, let's rewind a little, get the full picture. What exactly happened in Evans v. Ruth?
So James Evans was hired by this foreman at a quarry to haul stone for, state highway projects.
Okay.
He was promised 40 cents per ton
Not bad.
by Ruth Lumber and Supply Company.
Okay.
Now, here's the catch. Evans had no idea that Ruth had actually subcontracted the work out to this other guy
Oh.
named George Darr.
So he thinks he's working for Ruth the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For a whole month, Evans is hauling stone, getting these way slips,
Yeah.
all with Ruth's company name on them.
Oh, wow.
He goes to collect his money, and at first, Ruth seems willing to pay. He's like, if you give me a sworn affidavit saying you did the work, you'll get your money. It's right here in my safe.
So he's basically saying, I owe you this money.
Pretty much. But then, plot twist,
What?
Ruth completely changes his mind, refuses to pay,
Oh, come.
saying that Dar's the one responsible. But guess what?
Oh.
Dar is bankrupt.
Oh, no. So what does Evans do?
Well, he sues Ruth directly.
Makes sense.
And that's where this whole idea of ratification comes into play.
Okay.
The trial court sided with Evans.
Wow.
And even when Ruth appealed, the Superior Court upheld the original judgment.
Ratification. I'm not a lawyer, but that sounds a little more complicated than just saying good job after the fact.
Yeah.
What does that even mean, legally speaking?
You could say it's like a legal loophole.
Okay.
Ratification basically means that if someone acts on your behalf, even without your permission at first,
Okay.
and you later acknowledge or accept their actions,
Right.
it becomes legally binding.
Wow.
Like you gave them permission from the start.
Ah, so even though Ruth is saying, hey, I'm not responsible because I subcontracted the work, the court was like, nope, your action said something different.
Exactly. The court looked at several key things. That showed Ruth basically ratified that foreman's decision to hire Evans.
Interesting. It's a great example of how, small details can make or break a case.
For sure.
What were some of the details that really convinced the court?
Well, those way slips that Evans got for every load of stone, they had Ruth Lumber and Supplies name on them,
Right.
and Ruth kept copies.
So even if he wasn't directly supervising the work,
Yeah.
he was definitely aware of it.
Right. It showed a level of control and acknowledgement that went way beyond simply having a subcontract. And let's not forget, Ruth practically admitted to owing Evans money.
That's right.
He even demanded that affidavit
Right?
before supposedly paying up.
But what about the subcontract with Dar? Didn't Ruth try to use that as a defense?
Yeah.
Like, hey, this wasn't my problem.
He did, and it's a good point. The subcontract was evidence, and the jury had to consider that.
Yeah.
But the court decided that all those actions, the way slips, accepting the work as his own, the promise to pay, they basically outweighed the subcontract defense.
Wow. So it wasn't just a black and white situation?
Not at all. It came down to whether the jury believed Ruth's actions showed he had actually ratified the agreement, even though he didn't directly authorize it at the beginning.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder, though, how is ratification different from something like implied authority? Aren't those kind of the same thing?
That's a really great question. The difference is super important.
Okay.
Implied authority exists at the time the action is taken, based on the relationship and circumstances.
Okay.
Ratification, though, happens after the fact. Someone approves an action that wasn't initially allowed. Evans v. Ruth really shows this perfectly. It all comes down to what Ruth did after the work was done.
So it's not that the foreman had like the power to hire Evans for Ruth right from the start.
Right.
It's that Ruth's actions afterwards made it, you know, legally binding.
Exactly. And the court even highlighted something called the relation back doctrine when it comes to ratification.
Okay.
Essentially, once something is ratified, it's like it was approved from the very beginning. In this case, the court said Ruth accepting the work, that meant the foreman hiring Evans was legally valid.
Wow. It's like rewriting history almost.
Right.
It's pretty intense. Mm-hmm. I bet this has like huge implications, especially in the legal world.
Oh, absolutely. This case is a big reminder that you can't just hide behind, you know, subcontracts or other arrangements if your actions totally contradict those agreements.
So lawyers out there, if your client is thinking of dodging responsibility with some, you know, shady subcontracting scheme, remind them about Evans v. Ruth.
100%. This case shows how important it is to act fast if you want to avoid being held responsible later.
Okay.
You can't just stay silent. That can be interpreted as ratification,
especially
if you're benefiting from, you know, the work being done.
Makes sense.
And as we've seen, juries, they have the power to decide if ratification happened, even if a subcontract exists.
So what's the bottom line here for someone like me who's, you know, not a lawyer? How do I avoid a situation like Ruth's?
Be super clear. Whether you're hiring someone or being hired, make sure everyone knows who's authorized to do what and who's responsible for payment.
Okay.
Don't just rely on assumptions or like verbal agreements, especially with contracts.
Right.
Get everything in writing. And if anything seems off, you know, ask questions. Get clarification.
Don't be afraid to ask. Right.
Exactly. Better to be safe than sorry, especially when legal stuff's involved.
Yeah. This whole concept of ratification really makes you think. Your actions can have some serious consequences, even if you think you pass the responsibility off to someone else.
Exactly. It makes you wonder how often are people unintentionally creating contracts through their actions or finding themselves in a tough spot like Ruth because they thought they were being clever.
Definitely something to think about. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of contract law.
My pleasure. Remember, folks, knowledge is power. Understanding this stuff can help you handle contracts and agency relationships confidently and avoid, you know, unexpected issues.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll wrap up part one of our deep dive into Evans v. Ruth.
You know, as we were talking about ratification in part one, this whole idea, it could lead to some pretty tricky situations, like where someone's held responsible for something they didn't even agree to, really.
Right. That's a great point. It almost sounds like, you know, ratification could be used to take advantage of people, like someone backs out of a deal after they've already, like, benefited.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a double-edged sword, I guess you could say.
Okay.
On one hand, it prevents people from weaseling out of agreements after they've gotten what they wanted, like Ruth getting all that stonehauled and then trying to avoid paying.
Right, which is, you know, not really fair.
No, definitely not.
But like you said, it could go the other way. Someone ends up responsible for something they didn't even really understand. So, like, how does the law make sure things stay balanced? Are there, like, safeguards?
Yeah.
You know, to protect against, like, unfair situations?
Totally. One of the most important safeguards is that the person who's supposedly ratifying, they have to know all the important facts. You can't be in the dark about what happened.
So if Ruth, like, genuinely didn't know that the foreman hired Evans and only found out later, maybe things would have been different.
It's possible, yeah. Of course, every case is different, and it depends on the evidence. But the court would definitely want to figure out if Ruth knew enough for his actions to actually be considered ratification.
So it's not just like someone benefited. They also have to have, like, chosen to accept it.
Exactly. And that's where things get tricky, because sometimes you can, like, infer knowledge from the circumstances, even if it's not, like, specifically said.
So let's say I'm running a business, right?
Yeah.
And I'm worried about accidentally ratifying something. What can I do to, like, protect myself?
Communicate. That's key. Your employees, contractors, anyone who's acting for you, they need to know exactly what they're allowed to do.
So, like, spell things out.
Yes. Put it in writing if you have to, so there's no confusion. And if someone, like, oversteps their boundaries, you have to address it right away.
So no sweeping things under the rug.
Definitely not. If you find out about something that wasn't authorized, make it clear that you don't agree with it. And then, you know, take steps to fix it.
So if someone makes a promise on my behalf without my permission, like, I need to shut that down immediately.
Absolutely. And be careful about accepting any benefits that came from that action, you know, because that could be seen as a kind of ratification.
So let's say, like, a contractor starts adding on to my house. without, like, my, okay.
Yeah.
I better not move into that addition until I've got things, you know, straightened out legally.
Exactly. Otherwise, you might be saying, you know, hey, I'm fine with this, even though you never agreed in the first place.
This is a lot. It's starting to feel like a minefield out there. What else should we know about, you know, navigating all this ratification stuff?
Another big thing is to be aware of your own actions. Remember, actions speak louder than words, especially in legal matters.
So even if I don't say, like, I agree, my actions could still count as ratification.
Exactly. If you're, you know, passively accepting benefits or staying quiet when you should speak up or just acting like you're okay with what's happening, all those things could come back to bite you.
So it's not just what I say, but what I do or don't do?
Right.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. But being aware of it is half the battle. By understanding how ratification works, you can protect yourself and make sure you're only bound by agreements you actually agreed to.
Right. Okay, let's go back to Evans v. Ruth for a second. We talked about those way slips and, you know, Ruth's offer to pay. But what else convinced the court that ratification had happened?
Oh, there's another layer here. The court considered Ruth's silence. He never mentioned the subcontract with Dar to Evans.
So, Evans was led to believe he was dealing with Ruth Lumber and Supply the entire time.
Yeah. And the court found that Ruth's failure to clear things up, especially since he knew about the work, could be seen as ratification.
So he didn't actually say, yes, I am responsible, but by not saying anything, he kind of implied it.
Exactly. Sometimes what you don't say is just as important as what you do say, especially legally speaking.
That's where things get, like, really tricky, though.
Right.
It's a fine line between not knowing something and, you know, choosing to stay silent.
You're right. That's why it's so important to look at each case specifically. The court has to, like, weigh everything and decide if the person's silence really means ratification or if there's another explanation.
So if Ruth had been, like, away on a business trip or something.
Yeah.
And had a good reason for not knowing what was happening, his silence might not have worked against him.
Yeah, it's possible. But it all comes down to the details and whether the court believes the explanation. What's important is that silence can be powerful, intentionally or not, and courts pay attention to it.
Okay, so this has been really eye-opening. Let's wrap up this part of our deep dive with, like, a quick review of what we've learned from Evans v. Ruth. What are the big lessons here? Especially for, you know, those of us who aren't lawyers but want to feel good about handling contracts and agreements.
This case really shows how important clear communication is and documentation in any business or contract.
So get everything in writing, make sure everyone's on the same page, and, like, don't make assumptions.
Exactly. And remember, Evans v. Ruth is all about how powerful ratification can be. Even actions that seem innocent or even inactions can have serious legal consequences.
Be careful what you do and don't do. You could be agreeing to something without even realizing it.
Right. And never underestimate the importance of, you know, getting legal advice when you're in a tough spot.
Don't try to figure out legal stuff on your own. Get help from an expert.
Exactly. Knowledge is power. And understanding these ideas can help you navigate the business world with more confidence and avoid those unexpected issues.
That's great advice. We're going to take a quick break, but stay with us. In part three, we're going to look at the broader implications of Evans v. Ruth and how it's still shaping contract law today. All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been spending some time with Evans v. Ruth, that Pennsylvania case from back in 1937.
Yeah, all about ratification. How, like, what you do can actually create a legal contract, even if you never really, you know, agreed to it directly.
Like in this case with Ruth.
Right. Right.
Trying to get out of paying Evans by hiding behind that subcontractor.
Exactly.
But his actions ended up speaking louder than words.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is that Evans v. Ruth, it's still being cited today, you know, as precedent, especially in these construction and subcontracting cases.
So it's not just some old case sitting in a law library somewhere.
No way.
It's still relevant almost 100 years later.
Oh, totally. That's what's so powerful about legal precedent. Decisions from the past, they can actually shape how we understand the law today.
It's like those old cases are having a conversation with, you know, lawyers and judges now.
I like that. And Evans v. Ruth is a big part of that conversation because it, like, spells out so clearly what ratification is and how it can, you know, play out in the real world.
Speaking of spelling things out clearly, we've talked about, you know, the elements of ratification.
Right.
But it would be helpful to, like, break them down one by one, almost like a checklist for anyone listening who's, you know, worried they've accidentally ratified something.
Okay, yeah, sure. So based on Evans v. Ruth and some later cases, here are the key elements to watch out for.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay, so first, you need an action. Something that was done for someone, but without their permission in the beginning. Like in Evans v. Ruth, that was the foreman hiring Evans, even though Ruth didn't okay it.
So you've got that unauthorized action. What's next?
The person who supposedly ratified the action, they have to have known all the important facts. They can't be in the dark about what happened.
Right, like we were saying earlier.
Yeah.
It's not just about, like, benefiting from something. You have to, like, knowingly accept it.
Exactly. And then third, there needs to be some kind of action or behavior that shows acceptance of the unauthorized act. It could be as simple as saying, like, I approve. But like we saw with Evans v. Ruth, it can also be implied.
Right.
By, you know, accepting the work, making payments, or even staying silent when you should have spoken up.
Right, like all those pieces fitting together.
Yeah.
The way slips, Ruth's comments about the work, even that first offer to pay.
Mm-hmm.
It all added up.
Exactly. And the final element is capacity. The person ratifying has to be legally able to do it, you know, they're of sound mind, and actually have the authority to make that kind of agreement.
So if Ruth had been, like, I don't know, a minor, or had some legal reason why he couldn't make contracts, maybe things would have been different.
Exactly. Capacity is key for any contract, including ones that happen through ratification.
Okay, so there's our checklist. Unauthorized act, knowledge, acceptance, and capacity. What's the big takeaway here for our listeners? How can they use this to, like, avoid problems?
Honestly, the best thing is to avoid these situations altogether, where ratification could even be an issue.
How do we do that? Any practical tips?
Clear communication is key. Make sure everyone, your employees, contractors, whoever's working for you, they know exactly what they're allowed to do, what they can't do. You know, no gray areas.
Get it all in writing.
Yeah.
Black and white. No room for arguing later.
Exactly. And stay involved. Keep an eye on things. Don't just assume everything's fine. Ask questions. Review documents. Be aware of potential problems.
Don't be afraid to. Like, be a little nosy.
Right. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, final piece of advice. If something does go wrong, you have to act fast. Be decisive.
So no sweeping it under the rug.
No. Address it head on. Make it clear you don't agree with it. And then take steps to fix it.
So be proactive, informed, and assertive.
Exactly. And remember, folks, Evans v. Ruth shows us that the law can be tricky. What you don't know can definitely hurt you. So, you know, getting legal advice is always a good idea when you're not sure about something.
Definitely. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into Evans v. Ruth and the world of ratification. It's been pretty interesting, right?
It really shows how a case from almost 100 years ago can still, you know, teach us something about the law and how it affects us today.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. Until next time, remember, actions speak louder than words, especially when it comes to the law.